What we're talking about is late night and early morning low clouds. What a chance of fall. Chance of showers into the afternoon. With variable high cloudiness, gusty wind. Gusty winds at times around that corner of Sunset and Alvarado. Yeah, I know, things are tough all over. When the thunderstorms start increasing over the southeast and south central portions of my apartment, I get upset. And a line of thunderstorms was developing in the early morning hours ahead of a slow-moving cold front. Cold blood. With tornado watches issued shortly before noon Sunday for the areas including the western region of my mental health and the northern portion of my ability to deal rationally with my disconcerting, precarious emotional situation. Cold out there. Colder than a ticket taker's smile at the Ivor Theater on Saturday night. Flash flood watches cover the southern portion of my disposition.
Yeah.
There was no severe weather well into the afternoon, except for kind of a lone gust wind in the bedroom.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Monday edition of the French Connection. It is the 19th day of September, year 2005, and my name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and I'm coming direct and live to you from Central France. It's great to have you here with me today. We've got a great show lined up for you today, lots of information for this first half hour, and then Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Karen Kwiatkowski, friend of mine, worked together with Karen for a long time on exposing truth, and she's been doing interviews with me now for about 10 months, I guess. And Karen's insights are remarkable. We're going to talk about posse comitatus and military starting to actually move within the borders of the United States. They're setting us up for martial law, and she will actually mirror that fear that I just had here, because, you know, we are heading headlong into a train wreck in America. And anybody with a pair of eyes and a halfway decent brain can see this from miles away. But there are still many, 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 many millions of people across America who are in a fog, in a sleep. They don't get it. They're not seeing it. And frankly, there are reasons for them not getting it. Part of it is disinformation. Part of it is the mainstream media, and part of it is just the culture of stupidity in the country, and it's a culture of. I didn't say people were stupid, because everyone has the capacity to learn. Everyone does. But when you promote a culture of stupidity, you end up with stupid people. And it's just that way. It's a painful revelation for me to actually internalize, but it's true. there's a couple of things I wanted to talk to you about. My website is IamTheWitness.com. And on that site, I've got a little news item on the top. It says, remember Hennigan's story of the grand jury indicting Bush and Cheney and the shootout on the subway? Well, you know, I tried after that. I mean, I was so excited, ladies and gentlemen, that this was that we were going to have an indictment against these cheese dogs up in Washington. I was just ecstatic. But what happened over the following days after reading this report on Flacco and actually Cloak and Dagger, Hennigan, Stu Webb, I found out that this stuff the veracity was in question. I looked everywhere to find information about a shootout. There wasn't any. I looked everywhere to find information about a grand jury indictment coming down out of Chicago. There wasn't any. I even tried to find if there was a grand jury being formed in Chicago, and I could find nothing. Not a single word. And here's what happened. What I did find out was in the Rayburn Building and in Washington, D.C., there was a grand jury that was formed looking into the Valerie Plame case and looking to indict these people. But there wasn't anything out of Chicago. It was just not anything I could find truth on. And I wondered to myself, what in the heck was this story all about? Well, come come to find out, I mean, they wrote stuff on it from the American Free Press. They wrote stuff on it all over the web. And little by slowly, people have backed off from much of that story. But, well, now there's a second chapter to it saying that, well, the reason why we heard nothing about it is that a mysterious judge is stopping all the information from coming out. Well, I don't know how the heck we ended up with the Chicago story, but it doesn't seem to hold any water when I look into it. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I have to call them like I see them here. And I never reported on my radio show that the indictment was imminent because I didn't find out that this stuff was true. I did mention it saying that I heard something about it, but not that I knew it was true. Well, now I'm telling you that I'm still looking into this, and I still can't find out if any of it's true. And I'm wondering who are the people reporting this stuff. So I've raised this question, and it should be raised. People should raise the question of who's feeding them information. There's also something quite strange about the administrator to all of these, most of these people's websites. Many of them end up in a place called Herndon, Virginia, which is in the center of several big intelligence groups right in this place, Herndon. And they're all registered to the same P.O. box. Now, I don't know what that means either, but maybe you can tell me. Maybe you can look into it. Maybe you can find out what it all means. But it's interesting when you find out stuff behind the scenes and you don't understand what it means. So just a heads up on that. You know, my job here, again, I listened to Jack Blood a minute ago. He says his job is to expose as much of the honest truth as he can find. Well, I guess that's a fair assessment of what I'm trying to do as well. And I do this voluntarily, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not famous, and I don't do it for fame. It's interesting that I do this every day, and I place myself at risk, and I spend my own effort and money even to make phone calls all day to find guests and whatnot. And sometimes I wonder, what in the heck am I doing? It's killing me inside. It makes me sick to my stomach. It causes my family a lot of extra grief. But I just don't know that I could stop knowing how bad things are getting and how bad things are going to get. You know, I've brought out a lot of stuff on my show about Zionism and about pedophilia and about the lies that I see surrounding most of the information the public receive. And it's been difficult because, of course, people think I'm a racist, which I'm certainly not that. They think I'm anti-Semitic, which I'm certainly not that. In fact, I'm pro-Jewish people, but I'm certainly anti-Zionist, and it seems to me that any group of people who are working toward a supremacy over the masses needs to be told on. We have to tell on them. It's like we have to tell the public, look, you're asleep at the wheel over here, and these people are taking your freedoms and liberties from you right from under your nose. But, of course, people will twist and bend that to try to make me sound like I'm some kind of crackpot anti-Semite, which I'm certainly and absolutely not that. And I am just basically this guy trying to tell the American public that we are, that the house is on fire, and we either got to get a bunch of hoses or we got to get out of the building or whatever we got to do, but something's got to be done or you're just going to roast inside this mess. So, you know, we got some stuff here on this Monday. I was listening to Alex Jones about all this stuff down on the southern border, and boy, does that get scary. I mean, you know, these people we'll talk about the height of racism. It's amazing that these people are actually calling for the death of whites. It's freakish to me. But it's just really a symptom of what else is going on in the country, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. I am thewitness.com is the website. French Connections, the show. Genesis Communications Network. Be right back. Yes, sir, ladies and gentlemen, a little scat to get us back into the next segment. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and I am The Witness, and you can go to my website at iamthewitness.com. Lots of information on that site, ladies and gentlemen. Lots of lots of researched stuff, and it's a new book out by actually an updated book with six new chapters from Michelle Shostakovsky on the roots of terrorism. Something important you want to read. Henry Nyman's latest information is also available on the site. Lots of stuff there. Anyway, I want to talk for a second about this, two things. Let's start off with the gold price. Do you remember 2 weeks ago, it's not even 2 weeks ago, I had Ted Anderson on, and I told you that I had talked to Ted about the gold, and he, you know, it was very clear at that moment that gold was poised and for a charge upward. Well, since that conversation we had, it's up $26 an ounce. That is an amazing amount of growth in just a couple of weeks, and it's going to 500, ladies and gentlemen. It is now at about 467. It's broken out of its trading channel, and we are going to be seeing some real growth in the price of gold. And it's still early in its growth, but it's still at the bottom of its channel. And this breakout, you can still participate in making some money on gold by buying it at these prices. So I wasn't giving you a bump steer on buying gold, ladies and gentlemen. That is a that is an absolute right now, and it's only going to become more important as time goes on. So you should look into it. Anyway, this Posse Comitatus thing. You know, our founders realized quite early on that having a standing military in and amongst the population was dangerous. And it led to brutality, it led to subjugation, it led to violence being perpetrated against the American public by the British. And when we formed our government, we decided that we did not want to have a standing army living amongst the people, but rather have them based in a very segregated fashion, so that we would not have to feel the threat of a military presence, and that we would have well-formed militias to control possible problems in our states. Well, the well-formed militias were also for natural disasters. We do not need George Bush to increase military presence and FEMA presence in our states. What we need is the National Guard to be refunded and kept under the control of the governors, not under federal control, under the governor's control. And every governor in the country right now listening to me, if there's any of you out there, you need to call home your National Guard from Iraq and say that my state's is not going to participate in the crimes you're committing in Iraq. I'm just praying, waiting, hoping, thinking, pining for some governor in some state to stand up finally and say, we are not playing anymore. We're not going to play this federal management into hell, into descent, into destruction of the American Republic, and stop playing. But it's clearly these people are under threat. I mean, if you don't play by their rules, they'll kill you. And they've proven themselves time and time again ready and willing to do just that to people. Paul Wellstone, Mel Carnahan, there's a long list, Webb what's this guy's name? Yeah, Vince Foster. I mean, there's a whole huge list of murdered people. And then all of the doctors and scientists they've killed, and there's other broadcasters that have been murdered, and journalists that have been murdered, writers of biographies of George Bush murdered, opponents politically murdered. Oh, boy. And then talk about the character assassination and the lies and the deceit. We're talking about a Nazi-type government, a fascist Nazi mad dog government in power right now. And what their full aims are, we have gleaned over time, but it's never clear exactly what their next move is going to be. We're left guessing often, and some of my predictions are often very open-ended. I mean, I don't say this isn't what date is this going to happen and what day this is going to happen, because clearly, ladies and gentlemen, it's impossible to know these kinds of things. But we do know from their documents and from information provided by their own voices, their own members, what their plans are for us, and it's not good. So what all I can go by is what they've said in the past, and it's a very dark moment in world history, and I can see the veil of tyranny descending on the European states as well, Because if America falls, which it used to be the guiding light of freedom in the world many years ago, hasn't been for some time. But as its veil, as the veil is lifted, and the tyranny in America is beginning to be exposed, so too has Europe started to get a little bit more aggressive with its policing. And you're watching, the French police in themselves used to be very easy to speak to, and if they're getting harder to communicate with, they feel the pressure as well for this push to clamp down on the society, because I guess they've been told bad things are on the horizon as well. And also, you know, if I look up in my skies, I see checkerboards. I could put an X and an O up in my skies. I got to be honest with you, it's freakish, because side by side with one of these smoke pouring aircraft, there'll be one that isn't. How much more proof do I need? And they're about the same altitude, and I'm saying to myself, holy Toledo, look at this. This is just amazing. And they leave this smoky mess in the sky, and it's actually checkerboards. And we got chemtrails here, is my point. What's the entire purpose of that? Is it HAARP? Is it scalar weaponry? Is it weather control? Is it to give me allergies? What is the reason? I haven't been able to get the full story behind that. I think it might be all of the above or whatever. So, you know, we're left to figure out this stuff on our own in most cases. And I try to do it by picking through the news. WhatReallyHappened.com is one of my favorites. And, just running through all the main news sources, because in many instances, the mainstream press lets slip portions of the truth. So what we need to do is be collectors of those portions and place them out in front of the public for your consumption to find out what it is, you need to know. I mean, and most of what we need to know today, ladies and gentlemen, is about surviving these coming months and maybe years. You know, I've been working on a paper about the bird flu, but I've actually delayed it because it seems like in Indonesia right now we are moving into what's called a stage six situation. Stage six is when human-to-human transmission begins. That's the final stage of an outbreak of pandemic proportions, and it looks like we may be on a stage six precipice at the moment. Henry Nyman, a collaborator and friend of mine, has actually called the Indonesia event a possible stage six pandemic event, and it needs to be further studied. At that point, if I know that, I'm going to make some declarations and put together a definitive paper for you. We, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to come right back with my guest, Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Karen Kwiatkowski. But don't go anywhere. We have some great talk radio coming up. Be right back. Daryl Bradford Smith.
Scotch and soda, but in your eye, baby, do I feel high? Oh me, oh my, do I feel high?
Ah, the wonderful sounds of Giacomo Gates, my dear friend. 25 years I've known Giacomo, good friend of mine, great voice. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and I am the witness. It's great to have you with me here on this Monday. You're in for a great treat with my next guest here. Her name is Lieutenant Colonel retired Karen Kwiatkowski. She's also a doctor, teacher, and truth teller, writer. She's responsible for some very powerful op-ed pieces on Lou Rockwell. You can find her information there. Karen has worked in the Pentagon in the, wow, she was actually working with some of the crooks that the Douglas Fifes of the world and the Scooter Libbys and the rest of them. So she's actually seen firsthand just how bad things have gotten in our nation's capital. And Karen believes in the America that could be. And so I can't be prouder to have a guest than I am to have Karen with me, because There's few people in the country that have the kind of gravitas and the kind of truth-telling that she's able to tell. So I'm going to welcome her right now. Karen, are you with me?
Yes, I am. Thank you for that very kind introduction.
Well, it's an absolute fact, Karen. You know, we've been speaking together for months and months now, and you know, I have you on frequently because I can't think of someone better to comment on some of the things that are going on. And one of the things that I wanted to speak at length today about is Posse Comitatus being... it looks like they have gotten all the things out of this disaster that they wanted. It was to scare the American people. It was to start confiscating guns. It was to start to function, you know, the functioning of their military implementation and to implement Posse Comitatus destruction here. We're getting rid of that, aren't we?
Well, it looks like we are, and even long before Katrina. I mean, one of the things on Rumsfeld's plate, policy-wise, was looking at. While they didn't say, no one in the military, that as far as I know, has ever advocated, elimination of the Posse Comitatus restriction. It has been something. How do you use the military in a post 9/11 society, in a domestic context? Inevitably, you are putting the military, you bump into the whole restriction against doing policing and arresting and law enforcement. And so how are they going to do that? They've been thinking about this for a while, at least since after 9/11, and for all I know, long before. I mean, you remember Waco. I mean, there was an example. I mean,
yeah, they had Delta Force down there in Waco.
Yeah, there's a lot of military stuff. There was military gear. I mean, you can read General Clark's autobiography, and he wrote it some years ago after he retired. And at the time of Waco, he was the commander at Fort Hood, and he describes in his autobiography how the Janet Reno's folks at the Justice Department came over to his office, and they said, look, we'd like some tanks and some other equipment. And Clark explained to them that Posse Comitatus restrictions would not allow him to do that unless it was related to the war on drugs, which they came back the next day with charges against the Waco guy, the Koresh guy. And it was an accusation of, something in his meth or something that you can do in your sink. They didn't charge him with, like, marijuana because there would be evidence there, but something that there would later, and those charges never came to anything, of course, because they were made up in order to allow the military at that time, in the 1990s, to violate Posse Comitatus. Now, I mean, that was the war on drugs. We've been having this war on drugs for a long, long time since, at least Reagan. And it's one step into the military as a law enforcer, and then now you have post 9/11 society. Now you have Katrina. Now you have, well, we've got to have the military.
Well, it's a steady march to tyranny. And here's the interesting thing: the suspension of Posse Comitatus, as you pointed out, has been going on. But here they're requesting the official death to it. And one of the things that really blew me away was that they're calling for more money to go to the feds, to the FEMA, to military operations in disaster times, when really the first responders in any state disaster is supposed to be the National Guard and your state militia. And,
well, the first responders are local guys.
Local people.
And then
up
onto the state level. Sure, yeah, absolutely.
And what we've done is, and maybe this was by design, sent all of our state National Guardsmen and militia people of the state over to Iraq so that they wouldn't be able to respond, so that that Posse Comitatus could be, ridded of. And the problem I'm seeing now is that they make this, you know, they create the problem, they create the mess and make it worse, and then they come along with the solution, and the solution always pushes the envelope forward, the march forward to tyranny.
You're absolutely right, and that's the direction that we are indeed moving in, and I think you can see it. I mean, they had guys, and you mentioned it, people with legal arms, rifles and whatnot, in their homes, on their person, registered weapons, that had followed the law, basically expressing their right to bear arms, protected by the Second Amendment. These people were not given money for their weapon by the collector. The military guys were collecting these weapons. And I'm not clear, I may be wrong in this, but I'm not clear that these folks are getting their weapons back. I'm not clear there was a receipt trail, that there is going to be compensation for the weapons that were... I'm not clear. I don't know if any... You know, it would be great to hear that that's indeed what they're going to do. But this is an amazing event, and if we're going to sit down and take it, which apparently we have so far, it is the road to tyranny, for sure.
why do we take this, Karen? I mean, you know, it seems to me people have awoken to the horrors in large measure. I mean, of course, there's still the diehard potato heads out there that still think George Bush is the end-all, be-all, but the people that have awoken to the truth are really acting in a save-my-own-behind kind of mode rather than save-the-country mode. And once I think they've awoken to the truth, I think they believe that it's too far gone.
Well, I hate to say this, but it may indeed be too far gone. The power of the state in this country to do whatever it pleases, whether that means to violate your free speech rights, to violate your rights to congregate, to violate your variously interpreted right to privacy, so-called right to privacy, to violate your ability to to bear arms. They're doing all this stuff. And the state has the power, not the individual. That's the opposite of how it was kind of envisioned, that the individual has power, and that power, those powers and rights that the individuals had to be protected from the state. And so we made laws to protect the individual. Well, those laws have been corrupted. I mean, the Constitution protects very little. The Constitution is just there to refer to. In fact, just last Friday there was in this country, thanks to Senator Byrd, Constitution Day, and all of the public universities and all the public schools had to have a day where they talked about the Constitution, and if they don't do it, they don't get the No Child Left Behind money. So Constitution Day, we talk about the Constitution, but the Constitution was designed not to guarantee rights. The rights were guaranteed by God. Remember, that's how the founders viewed it.
Mm-hmm.
The Constitution was designed to preserve those rights from infringement by a tyrannous government, which is what the founders thought might happen, considering they just had dealt with one, George III's tyrannous government. So they said, well, you know, this could happen. Individual rights are granted by God. They should be protected. That's what the Constitution is supposed to do, but it doesn't do that.
Not anymore, no. And actually, we've gone even further in some instances than Crazy King George did, and we've got a second Crazy King George, it seems like. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we've got lots more to come with my friend Karen. Stick with us. This is a great interview and a great talk radio hour. Be right back. Yes, sir, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We are back with a vengeance. We have a great guest with us on this hour of the talk radio on the French Connection. It's Karen Kwiatkowski, Lieutenant Colonel and doctor, good friend and patriot. Karen, you know, I want to go right back to you on some of the stuff we're facing here. You know, a lot of people are starting to talk about survival and how to weather this next chapter in American history. You know, I'm wondering if the country won't fragment into a little pockets and stuff. It seems like the next big mess is the financial one. And, of course, we've just pushed that ball way down toward the goal line with this mess of Katrina and the housing bubble bursting and the lowest level of consumer confidence in 14 years. We're just looking at this. The other shoe has dropped, it looks like. It's just that nobody's woken up to that fact yet, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think some people are kind of waking up to it a little bit. But, you know, it's interesting. I mean, the government printing more money. I mean, that's what we're doing. We've been doing it for some time. We have underlying inflation in this country, and not just about high gas prices of the past couple of 3 years. And, you know, increasingly, and they continue to spike and stay high. I mean, comparatively high for Americans. I mean, obviously, we don't pay the gas prices that they do in Europe. But this, we have underlying structural inflationary factors that everyone, most people in America, at least middle class and lower economic folks, we feel that. Okay, so that's, we're aware of it. The government, meanwhile, keeps printing money, which makes more inflation, right? More inflation for an equal number of goods means higher prices for the same or less value. So they're printing money. And then with Katrina, of course, the federal government is in here with 80-something billion promises of, now, where are they going to get that money? Well, where do we get the money to pay for Iraq? We sell treasury bills to China. Well, we're going to sell more treasury bills. I mean, you know, President Bush, he had a meeting up at the UN, had big UN meetings last week, and right before he made his speech announcing the $82 billion, he had a meeting with a president of China. You know, now they didn't say in there, he said, hey, dude, you're going to buy some more treasury bills, but most likely he almost had to clear. Can the U.S. government spend more money? We have to ask China. That's just nuts. That's a sign that your empire's already declined and you just don't know it yet.
Well, here's the other thing that the American public don't know. There are 78 million Germans and there are 300 million Americans. And Germany has more exports than the United States.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Amazing.
So
yeah, we don't know that. You're right. Americans don't know that.
One third of our population, and they export more than our country
and
does.
They export more. Isn't that something?
Well, there you go. And, I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, most of our manufacturing has already offshored itself. And it's just, I think, that it's like a big boil that's just been popped. And it's still, you know, we're just waiting now to see just how bad the damage is. And the damage, in my estimation, and I've been, you know, I got a good education in business and finance, and I know from looking on the outside into what I see, there is rot underneath the surface so bad that I just see this whole thing unraveling by Christmas. Now, that's a prediction, and I try to shy away from exact predictions, because, you know, then if I'm wrong, everybody says, Well, the truth is that I don't think this is a no-brainer. I think we're going to just watch this thing just start to unravel by Christmas. And
I think that it's already unraveling, and we just haven't looked at it that close enough. Most people, and you know, you don't want bad news. You know, Americans don't want bad news. We want good news. We're optimistic people. Most people are, and you know, you don't want bad news. But it is, yes, it's unraveling. I mean, the level of debt that not just the nation carries, but the individuals carry, and you know, all this debt, all these houses that people borrow all this money on, and all the equity that they've pulled out of their homes, all of those loans, or 80% of them, maybe more, maybe higher percentage, but a huge percentage of these loans are backed up by federal lending agencies like Freddie Mac and what's the other one?
Fannie Mae.
And these are, the F's are for federal, see? So these are tax funded government, federal government, not state government, federal government backed things. So when those homes are repossessed due to non-payment, okay, when those homes are foreclosed, they become property of the federal government, not the state.
That's right.
I mean, or it's a federal corporation, but come on, it's close enough for government work, really. I mean, it's federal property now. And the federal government will determine how to dispose of that. And Americans are so, we don't have the choices that we think we have.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a situation where we have been almost structurally impoverished, really, by the practices of our government. And this cannot be blamed entirely on George Bush, of course. He's just continuing what a lot of these guys have been doing for some time.
Well, you know, you sent me an article, Karen. I want to shift gears just a bit here from Nancy Levent about, you know, about what's happening. It's pretty stark, and it's an interesting article about how to survive the future here. And you just brought up the subject of how many people don't own anything. They've borrowed money for their car. They've borrowed money on their big screen TV. They've borrowed money on their house. And basically, they're just a pile of debts, and they're robbing Peter to pay Paul. And I would say that's a good 60% of the American public. The other 40% don't own anything, and it's because they're too poor to own anything. So what we've got here is just a Ponzi scheme that's just ready to collapse. And, you know, Europe has been feeling the pinch as well, because, of course, if something as large as America begins to flounder, the entire world begins to twitch. And I can see losses in civil liberties across Europe starting to take place in anticipation of what's going to happen in America.
Mm,
so when we come back, I want to maybe address a couple of the things that Nancy wrote in her article, Karen, because it's very interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with more from Karen Kwiatkowski. We are back, ladies and gentlemen, French Connection. Daryl Bradford Smith, IamTheWitness.com is the website, and Genesis Communications Network is the network that you are listening to. And I am coming to you live and direct from central France on this 19th day of September, and we are talking with Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Karen Kwiatkowski. And you know, Karen, this article is pretty powerful in that it kind of spells out where the world is heading. It talks about, it says, governance is changing, and in their hands and their desired system of economic siphoning, the American people must understand that this is not an American phenomenon, but a global initiative, and these global initiatives are very specific. No private ownership of property. No private ownership of water rights. No mass mobility rights. No private ownership of guns. Religious environment sustained by Gaia, she says, which is true. No privacy rights, mandatory military service, no personal opinion. She goes down this list. It's not hard to see when you've pulled back this cloud that was hanging over your face for so long. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I bought into everything, and I remember just a couple of years ago, I was one of the ranting fools that said, it's not true, it isn't true. And boy, when the bubble burst for me, I ended up bedridden for 2 weeks, just laying there going, everything I had constructed my belief system on had been destroyed. Well, after I awoke and I got very angry, and that anger turned into this radio show is what happened. You know, everybody expresses their anger in different ways. You've written over 100 articles, I think, and laudable that is. But this young person, or this person here, has written down some very powerful things, because I see nothing here that I don't agree with. And
makes a lot of sense. It makes a huge amount of sense when you think about it. And also all the things that they're hoping to restrict or eliminate, those private property, you know, anything, along with, you know, personal opinions, water, all these things. Private property and all this whole list of things are all things that threaten the state, that threaten coercive rule. You can't have an emperor if nobody says, I agree to be controlled by this guy. You know, you can't, if they have weapons and they say, sorry, this is my land, I plan to defend it or whatever, then there's no empire, see, as long as people successfully fight back. I mean, look at Iraq, right?
Iraq and Iran are two countries that the private guns are in private hands in these two countries.
They sure are, and it's a huge threat to our empire, because we're trying to control one of those countries. Actually, I think we're trying to control both of those countries. And they have their own weapons, and they're using them to resist our central authority, which they see as you know, unnecessary and unjust. And guess what? They're winning. You see how it works? And we could do the same here if it is to a point where people feel that that's necessary. But, you know, like you said with Katrina, people handed over their weapons. I mean, some were unhappy about it, but I think they had to knock down a grandmother because she didn't move quick enough. I think there were little incidents like that. But for the most part, the military and police forces that were collecting those weapons got what they needed.
I want to know, in your estimation, when we come back from this 6-minute break we have at the top of the hour, so you can have a cup of tea or something like, nice like that. But why is it, do you believe, the American people are being so so easily controlled? To me, I would have expected more.
Yep.
My wife said to me she expected more from America.
Mm-hmm. I think that they haven't gone through that 2-week in bed period where they wake up and everything's changed. I don't think we want to go. I think a lot of people don't want to have their points of reference destroyed like that, and that's what it's going to be.
We're going to be right back, Karen, after the top of the hour.